Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. So far the reading of our text for this morning's sermon. The sermon which I am about to read was prepared by Reverend Sikkema, who could not come this morning due to the weather. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, today we celebrate again the birth of our Savior, Christ the Lord. It is Christmas, the year of our Lord, 2022. For the past weeks, millions upon millions of people have been preparing for the celebration of Christmas. Presents were bought and given, greetings were sent and received. Yes, everybody got caught up in the Christmas spirit. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, teachers and students, laborers and management, believers and unbelievers, all joined in wishing each other the best of the true spirit of Christmas. It has been a few years ago now that a business establishment rooted in a Christian background sent a word of greeting to its customers entitled "The Spirit of Christmas." Listen carefully to what it said. Of all human experience, the spirit of Christmas is the most personal and yet the most universal. For Christmas, listen carefully, for Christmas is the common denominator of all men everywhere. You understand, see, that's what Christmas, the day of the celebration of our Savior's birth, has come to be. It is the common denominator day now. Ah yes, a day for the jolly good time it is, a day for parties and well-wishing, and everybody is expected to join in. No doubt, Christmas is by far the most popular day of the year, and whether celebrated on a Sunday or a weekday makes no difference. And see, it is that popularity of the day that is really so very disturbing, so very frightening, because, you see, it is that popularity that shows, yes, that underscores, that Christmas is not at all understood by ever so many people today. Oh, to be sure, Christmas is indeed a very joyful day. We surely may celebrate, joyfully celebrate today, remembering that the joy of this day came to clear expression already in the fields of Ephrata, where the angels of the Lord came down to earth and sang their song of glory to God and of peace on earth. But the song of joy sung by those angels is no longer understood today. Oh yes, people do talk, though with less certainty. People do talk about peace on earth, but they give not so much as a thought to the glory of God. Such is the situation in the world today. And now we are together as Church of Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate the birth of Him who is the Savior, Christ the Lord. To that end, we are going to listen together to the song of the angels as recorded by Luke, their song of glory to God and of peace on earth. That song is by and large not understood anymore today, and that no doubt for a number of reasons. I will mention only one. The words of the song, sung by the host of angels, are separated from the message of the angel, the good news of great joy, which he had announced to the shepherds in the field of Ephrata. The shepherds, you will remember, were filled with fear when an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." That, you will recall, was the message of the angel who had been sent by the Lord to those shepherds out in the field. Well, now, the song of the angels, which was then heard in the fields of Ephrata, see, that song was sung in response to that message. It was, as it were, the Amen upon that message. But when that is forgotten, when, in other words, the song of the angels is separated from the message of that angel, then that song can no longer be rightly understood. Then you can make of that song whatever you please. Then people, all kinds of people, also people who don't believe a word of the message spoken by that angel, then people can sing about peace on earth and even about glory to God without understanding a thing about what it is they are singing. Then it all rings hollow from their mouths because they know not what it is that they are singing. Think of it. The angels of the Lord Almighty sang a multitude, the heavenly host was praising God with these words, glory to God in the highest. That first of all, glory to God in the highest. What were they saying? Was it only a wish they were expressing, or were they actually really stating a fact? Must we think that those angels were expressing a wish, the wish that everyone in heaven on earth would bring glory to God, especially now that he had sent his son for the salvation of the world? Or were they in fact declaring the glory of the Lord? Were they saying that the Lord God is glorious? Yes, were they saying that his awesome glory then filled the heavens as never before? Because his son, his one and only son, had been born of a woman. Oh, there can be no doubt about it. The latter is the case. Those angels were then and there declaring the glory of the Lord. Remember, throughout the Old Testament, we read that the Lord God revealed his glory. For example, God had seen the glory of the Lord in a dream. Or Jacob had seen the glory of the Lord in a dream. And the Lord had revealed his glory on Mount Sinai when he gave his covenant law word to his people Israel. Then the people had trembled, remember, when they had seen his awesome glory, and so too the glory of the Lord was present in the tent of meeting, as his glory filled the temple. But always the revelation of the Lord's glory has been a limited revelation. Always it was restricted by the shadows of the Old Testament. Oh yes, the psalmist testifies that the glory of the Lord is wonderful. Yes, that is wonderfully displayed in and by his works of his hands. Psalm 19. And the prophet Isaiah had seen a heavenly vision, a vision wherein he saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. Then he heard the seraphim call out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 3. But never had the Lord revealed his glory upon earth as gloriously as he had in heaven. Oh yes, the angels in heaven have seen the glorious works of God, and no doubt they have filled the heavens with songs of praise and adoration. But never, never have they seen the glory of the Lord revealed more glorious than the night of the Savior's birth. To be sure, for years his birth had been foretold and eagerly awaited, and the promise that he would come had often been repeated, and then so altogether mysteriously, then it happened. Christ the Savior was born in this world, and in the night of his birth, those angels of the Lord saw what they had never before seen. That night, the Lord did a work he had never done before. And see, ever since that day, the church has joyfully sung, unto us a child is born, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Yes, it is that child of Bethlehem that appeared in the fullness of God's revelation. John would testify, we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This, you see, is the concentration point. This is the heart of God's work. The lines of history converge on this point and are determined by it. Here, in this child, Here God revealed himself in a way that no eye had seen before and no ear had ever heard before. The Lord came, he visited his own, and think of it, he did it by taking upon himself the form of a servant. Philippians 2, verse 8. And see now, the heavens filled with the glory of God on the night of Christ's birth. Hear the angels rejoice. Their song resounded throughout the heavens. The heavens burst open. The angels appeared in their visible form. They spoke in human language. They proclaimed the glory of heaven in song to those who dwell on the earth. This they who dwell on the earth must know. This they must know at this very moment. The Lord God Almighty had magnified himself in his work of redemption. So the song of the angels was heard in the fields of Ephrata. It echoed against the walls of David's old town. It worked mightily in the hearts of the shepherd who were awaiting the consolation of Israel. But now we must also see the great contrast. The contrast between what was seen from heaven and what was visible on earth. Think of it, the angels had seen the glory of the Lord that had moved them to sing songs of exaltation. But where was the glory visible on earth? Was the revelation of the Lord's glory on Mount Sinai and in the temple? Was that revelation not much more beautiful, more majestic, more awesome than it was revealed in the stable of Bethlehem? Oh, to be sure, it was the Son of God who lay there in that manger, but he had emptied himself, remember? His glory was altogether hidden because he has taken on our human nature. Isaiah had already seen him, prophetically seen him, that way, remember? He wrote of him, he had no form or majesty that we should look on him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Oh yes, all of that is true. Praise the Lord. That is all true. Because you see, that is exactly why the angels could sing in Ephrata, sing as they had never sung before. For in this, in that the Son of God had come to dwell among men, therein God himself, God glorified himself more than in any other redemptive work he had done in the past. See, that the Son of God should appear in this form without glory, that he should come in the likeness of our sinful flesh. That exalts the glory of God's works as nothing before it had ever done. Think of it this way. The humility of the Son on this earth was an exaltation of the glory of God in heaven. The Lord glorifies himself as he worked out the plan for our redemption. The angels, remember, had sung their amen upon the message which the angel sent by the Lord had spoken. Unto you is born this day, he had said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 2, verse 11. Remember now, our God glorifies himself in saving sinners, such as we are. He glorifies himself in bringing a lost world back to himself. Ah, yes, he glorifies himself in the redemption which would be wrought in Jesus, who is Christ. Therein, you see, the glory of the Lord was and is revealed. God glorifies himself in the work of redemption. I said, well now, that means also that he glorifies himself therein, that we repent and that we return to the Lord. He glorifies himself therein that Christ lives in us today. When you think about that for just a moment, you suddenly understand also the utter seriousness of Christmas. Because you see, they who do not repent, people who do not return to the Lord, they hinder the glory of God. They refuse to let it shine in their lives. Therefore, they shall one day tremble before him. But those who believe, see, they sing with all the angels of the glory of God, which he revealed in Jesus Christ. For see, in Christ, the glory of the Lord And they testify with John, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we too have seen his glory, glory as only the Son, as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember, the shepherds, having been instructed by the angels, the shepherds saw something of that glory, and they understood what that meant for them. When they returned from Bethlehem, it says, they glorified and praised God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them, Luke 2, verse 20. Well, with that, I move on to the second part of the text, and on earth be peace among those with whom he is pleased. Remember now that it is the second part of the song sung by the angels. In other words, these words are about peace on earth, are a part of the Amen sung by the angels in response to the message spoken by the angel who announced the birth of their Savior. Well, now, that tells us also here the angels are not expressing a wish. Also here, they are not saying, may there be peace on earth. Rather, they are declaring a fact. They are announcing with divine authority that there is peace on earth. There is peace here and now, the wars and the terrorists and the hijacking notwithstanding. But where then and with whom is it to be found? Is this peace there worldwide? And does every member of the human race share this peace? That, as you may know, that is what has often been made of these words. And you can be sure that thought appeals for everybody. After all, who is not for peace? And see, it was the King James translation of this text that promoted that kind of thinking. You see, much of the problem centers on a comma. All commas, don't forget, can play a very significant role in a sentence. Well, now, the King James translation of this text reads like this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, comma, goodwill toward men. By placing that comma between the words "and on the earth peace" and the words "goodwill towards men," the King James opened the door to the idea that the angels were really singing about two distinct things here, about peace on earth and about goodwill toward men. Well, the rest, as they say, is history. It became traditional that on Christmas Day, all hostility was put aside. Nations at war would stop all fighting for one day. Messages of goodwill were sent by one and all. After all, such is the spirit of Christmas, they thought. But what did the angels say in their song of praise to God? This, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You cannot miss it. There is peace on earth. The angels said it clearly. You ask, but where is peace in this war-torn world? Listen, the angels declared in their song, there is peace, they say, among those with whom God is pleased. Oh no, the angel were not singing about the goodwill of men. Rather, they were and are rejoicing in the sovereign good pleasure of the Lord, which he freely bestows on his people, his chosen, his precious, his covenant people. Behold, the angel had said to the shepherds in the field of Ephrata, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Well then, in the sending of his Son, God had indeed bestowed his peace upon his people. His peace, God's peace, what does that mean? What is it the angels were singing about when they sang of peace on earth? Listen to the Apostle Paul for a moment. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul says, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Well, now, you know what confusion is, right? It is everybody saying different things, and nobody knows the truth or being prepared to accept the truth. It is everybody wanting to talk at once and nobody being heard. That's the thing Paul was talking about. The church services in Corinth tended to be chaotic. Confusion reigned. The one would attempt to speak a word of prophecy, while another would speak in tongues, and a third person would try to teach. It was a mixed-up affair. Then Paul counsels them, "You mustn't do that," he says. "You are to be imitators of God, and our God is a God of peace. He wants things to be done orderly. There has to be order. Also in your worship services, don't try to have a solo and a preaching and a congregational prayer all at one and the same time." Well, now, that is the thought, the idea, the word of peace. That word, you see, does not, first of all, refer to an inner feeling in your heart. Rather, that word talks about the restoration of order, everything in its proper place again. There is harmony. When those angels in the fields of Ephrata sang about peace on earth, see, then they were singing about the restoration of all things to God, that is, to their God, to their God-appointed place. Sin, remember, had brought confusion. Sin brought disorder. Sin destroyed the harmony in God's creation order. Sin destroyed the harmony in man and between man and between man and God. Sin brought disorder in God's creation order. So death came in the place of life and peace. But here now the angels sing. They sang of the birth of the Prince of Peace. You understand? See, with the birth of Jesus, peace was restored. Because Jesus is the Savior. He reconciles all things to God. He takes away the confusion brought by sin. He restores the harmony of God's creation order. Therefore, where Jesus is, there is peace. Then you see it. See, the angels were not simply singing about an inner peace or in a person's heart, which he may then enjoy in the midst of the world of confusion. Oh no, rather, they were and are rejoicing in the power of God. The Lord God, in an almighty and sovereign way, took hold of this world of confusion in a way utterly beyond human understanding. Sending his own son as a helpless child, God came to restore order, his peace. And see, wherever this peace of God breaks through by faith in him who is the Prince of Peace, there you will find not only a peaceful feeling, but there you will find the crooked relationships made straight. There you will find harmony. There you will find the order, the peace of the new heaven and the new earth breaking through. Because it is the Prince of Peace who was born on Christmas Day, he of whom the scriptures say that he is our peace. In him and through him, all things are set straight, both in the heavens and on this earth. So there comes harmony in our own life, and we experience the harmony of the communion of saints. Because the harmony with God has been restored to us, you can be very sure the peace marchers, in whatever place they may be doing their marching, have not understood that, not at all. Oh, to be sure, all of that is still imperfect today, but it will be perfected. That is sure and certain, for it was made sure and certain through him who is our peace. So the angels sang of peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. And think of it, when those angels were, as yet, only singing about the birth of Christ, see, then already the Lord God was looking beyond the manger. Because you see, the way of peace on earth could only be opened by the way of humiliation of that child, that is, by the way of the cross. He was called to bear for us in our stead. And it is only open to those who greet him on this way. the way of the cross as their Savior and Lord, for they, and they only, are the ones in whom God is pleased. All others are left to walk only about, all others are left to talk only about something called the spirit of Christmas without even knowing the real peace of God, the peace of Christmas, and they will not experience harmony. Rather, their lives will continue to be lives filled with confusion. May we praise the Lord, for we know that the peace of God is reality among those with whom He is pleased. God has restored peace through His beloved Son. But remember it well, that peace today means that we must face the ongoing battles of the kingdom. It means conflict and struggle, as Christ Himself said. See the battles of the kingdom will become ever more intensive. All the devils and all those in the power of demons are battling against the peace of God, which is in Jesus Christ alone. They hate the Prince of Peace. They love the works of darkness. They want to destroy the order of the peace-bringing God. The powers of Antichrist are ever fighting against the Christ of God, but they shall never succeed. Listen again to the song of the angels. The messengers of God long ago proclaimed with divine authority, there is peace on earth among those with whom the Lord is pleased. And the powers of hell will never be able to destroy that peace. After all, it is anchored in God's redemption wrought in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So we rejoice today, and our joy shall have no end. Praise the Lord. Amen.